appreciate the prayer this morning. Good to be here. I've said it and I'll say it again. It's just no telling what the Lord may do in this service this morning. I'm glad that he is not limited in his abilities or in his movement. He can work anywhere, anytime, under any circumstances. You can't stress him out. You can't exhaust his energies. You can't deplete his abilities. He's God, and beside him there is none other. And I bless his name this morning. I didn't come just to wing through this service so I could get to lunch. I come to worship and to magnify a risen Savior. He's worthy of my praise, and he's worthy of yours. And I pray he'll do a work in your heart and in your life here this morning. I certainly appreciate him a touching me yesterday. Hallelujah. I'm a candidate for all of that he wants to send my way. If you don't want it, you ask God to bring it to me. I need it. Amen. It's come time for our first message this morning. I'm going to ask my associate, Brother Taylor Miller. He's coming around to preach for us this morning. Each man will preach 20 minutes. And we appreciate Brother Taylor. He's a blessing to our congregation, he and his family. And I'm glad the Lord's put him where he's at. Grew up there, got saved there. Amen. You hear him gladly while he preaches the word of the Lord. I love you. Amen.
Amen. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me to book of 1 Samuel. Chapter number 7. I realize that this has been a portion of scripture that has been looked at a few different times throughout this meeting, but this is just what the Lord has put upon my heart. I did think to myself that if I heard one more turn to 1 Samuel chapter 7, I was going to come down with a virus or something else, but I appreciate the opportunity. I appreciate the goodness of the Lord. I appreciate the privilege and the opportunity to be in camp meeting. Appreciate the services and appreciate the help that's been given and granted. And what a precious commodity it is when God steps in and helps his people. And I'm thankful for that. And thank you, preacher, for the opportunity, a privilege to be able to do and what to do. And I'm thankful for it. But we'll begin reading in verse number 1. The Bible says, "And the men of Kirjath-Jearim came and fetched the ark of the Lord and brought it into the house of Abinadab in the hill and sanctified Eleazar, his son, to keep the ark of the Lord. And it came to pass that the ark abode in Kirjath-Jearim, that the time was long. For it was 20 years, and all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. And Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, If ye do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the strange gods and Ashtaroth from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord, and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. Then the children of Israel did put away Balaam and Ashtaroth and served the Lord only. And Samuel said, Gather all Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray for you unto the Lord. And they gathered together to Mizpah and drew water and poured it out before the Lord and fasted on that day and said, There we have sinned against the Lord. And Samuel judged the children of Israel in Mizpah. And when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel were gathered together to Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. And when the children of Israel heard it, they were afraid of the Philistines. And the children of Israel said to Samuel, Cease not to cry unto the Lord our God for us, that he will save us out of the hand of the Philistines. And Samuel took a sucking lamb and offered it for a burnt offering holy unto the Lord. And Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel, and the Lord heard him. And as Samuel was offering the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines and discomfited them. And they were smitten before Israel. And the men of Israel went out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and smote them until they came unto Bethcar. Then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shin and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, "Hitherto hath the Lord helped us." And may the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word this morning. For quite some time in the history of the nation of Israel here, it has been somewhat of a turbulent ride. There have been a lot of ups and downs from the time that they crossed over Jordan whenever they came into the land of Canaan. They had known some turbulence in this journey that they was on, and it continued, for quite some time, all the way up even past this situation. But if you notice in our text, the Bible tells us that in this situation that the time was long, for it was 20 years all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. What the Bible is telling us is that for the past 20 years in the history of Israel, there has been absolutely nothing going on. It has been completely stagnant, that there's nothing happened. Matter of fact, just one verse sums up 20 years of the lives of the people of Israel. Whenever you look at this 20 years, that 20 year marks the mark of when the ark was returned and placed into the house of Abinadab. And when we think about that, our minds have to go back to the time whenever they lost the ark, a very tragic day, probably the darkest day in Israel's history, past the Red Sea. You read about it. The Bible says that they took, in chapter number 4, they said, "Let us fetch up the ark of the covenant of the Lord out of Shiloh, that when it cometh among us, it may save us out of the hand of our enemies." What they were doing, they wanted to use the Ark of the Covenant as a lucky charm, per se, just something that would give them automatic victory. But what they did not realize, their victory was not in the Ark of the Covenant, but it was in the God of the Ark of the Covenant. That's the one that granted victory unto them. And you read about the story, there's 30,000 men that died that day of Israel. You read more about it. Eli and his sons both died that day. And then you read there's a child by the name of Ichabod born, and said that the glory of God had departed from Israel, that it had left them. And this was a sad, sad day 20 years prior to this. It was a dark day in the history of Israel. The Bible said that the time had been long from the time that that ark had lodged back in the house of Abinadab. I don't know about you, but there's when you look at that word long, it gives the idea of becoming. It gives the idea of increasing. I can think of a list of many things that I have in my mind to do in this life or do around the house. And, you know, I think I'm going to do it tomorrow, but I don't get it done tomorrow. Well, then it ends up next week, and then it ends up next month, and then those months turn to year. And what has happened here, the children of Israel may have had all intentions of doing what they needed to do with the Ark of God, but they never did get around to it. Those weeks became months, those months became years, and in this situation, the years became decades. And had there not been a change, had there not been something happened, those decades would have turned into centuries unto them. And that is what the state of this is. It is a long time, it's a becoming time. But you see, there's this man by the name of Samuel that is now stepping back on the scene. We hadn't heard from Samuel since chapter number 4, but now Samuel begins to play an important role back again here in the children of Israel's life. It's interesting. You look at Samuel. Samuel was a prophet. He was a judge. He was a man of prayer. He was a man that preached. But here in this text, Samuel is going to bring about a great military victory.
and he's going to do it by spiritual practices. He's going to win the battle spiritually, and it's going to result in a military victory for the children of Israel in this text. But I want to draw your attention here. The stone has already been set. Thankful for that. But you read there in 1 Samuel 7 verse 12, it says that the name of this stone is Ebenezer. Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. I can't speak for you, but I do believe that that is the answer to every one of my problems. To be able to say that the Lord stepped in and intervene, and that the Lord helped us. I believe that if God set a stone in the midst of your problem, that would fix the problem for you and I. But the problem I have is sometimes getting to that point and getting to that place. Whenever I read this text, we often run to verse number 12 when we see this. We know the answer to our problems. We know that the Lord is our rock. We know he's the answer to every problem that you have. But I remembered, my mind went back to whenever I was sitting in math class. And I remember whenever we would be working on assignments, the teacher would give an assignment. And you know, you couldn't just put the right answer down. You had to show your work of how you got to that answer. And then there were even sometimes they'd give you the answer and then they wouldn't even give you the problem. You didn't have to find the answer. You had to figure out what the problem was in it. And when the equations were 2 plus 2, I didn't have any problem figuring those out. But when they started adding letters in there where numbers should have been, and then they started adding different problems within the same problem, it began to get a whole lot harder to figure out how to get to the answer of that question. How to get to the answer of that equation. And that's the way life is a lot of times. The problems get a whole lot more complicated. They get a whole lot more complex. And honestly, I know the answer to the problem, but how to get to that answer is what the struggle oftentimes is in this life. And just for a few moments, I want to preach on the thought of how to solve Ebenezer's equation. Because what you see in this text, you see Samuel leading us all the way to the stone, because you'll never get to the stone unless you do the steps that Samuel has said here in this text. And just for a few moments, we'll look at this and we'll be done out of the way. But the first step is identification of the problem. I don't know about you, but identifying what the right problem is a big part of it. Matter of fact, if you don't know what problem you're trying to solve, you're never going to come up with the right answer, friend. You're never going to end up with what the answer is right. You have to identify the right problem. And I don't mean to cause anybody distress like me when I think of math class, but there was something that they told us. They said there was the order of operations. And that what that was is you had to go in this particular order if you were going to come up with the right answer. You had to solve what was in the parentheses, then do the exponent, then do the multiplication, division, addition, and then you do subtraction. And if you go in that order, you will find the right answer to the problem. You'll come up with the right answer. Well, Samuel in this text tells us the very first priority in this text. He tells us the first step that you and I have to take, and he identifies the problem with you and I, friend. He identifies that we're the problem. We're the first step that we have to take care of if we're ever going to get to the stone. We're the problem that we have to do. I oftentimes hear people say, and I'll be honest with you, I've said it before, if they would do this, or if they would quit doing that, or if they wouldn't act like that, then it'd all be all right. No, 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 friend, understand. Samuel tells, if ye will do this. He says that your hearts is the very problem of the matter. Matter of fact, the problem is first must be looked at as inward before you go outward. Understand, when you look at the Bible, whenever I look at my heart and the line of the Bible, it's no wonder why there's a problem found in there. Matter of fact, Jeremiah said that the heart was wicked and deceitful and that no man could know it. You look at what Solomon said. He said, you better keep your heart with all diligence, because out of it is the issues of life. Paul said that being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance of them is because of the blindness of the heart. Friend, understand, the heart of you and me is the first step in getting to that stone. That's the first thing you and I must have to do. And truth of the matter is, the reason there was nothing said those first 20 years is because they had never took the first step in getting to that place. They had never looked at themselves before looking at the problem, and that's exactly what it would have continued to been for another 20 years had they not took that first step as identifying the problem. But then the first step is identification, but the second step, he says, is separation. He tells them there in verse number 3, he says to put away, and I'm quickly moving on, but that gives the idea of turning from, to leaving something. Understand, in order to get to that place, you have to turn from some other things and some other places. He said turn from the strange gods and from Ashtaroth, and if you heard Brother Bagwell, he done dealt with all of those last week, so we'll move on, but there has to be separation. And I'm quickly moving on, but then there must be a preparation as well. He says, prepare your hearts unto the Lord and serve Him only. When you look at that, when you look at that word prepare, and it gives the word to make ready, to fix, to set aright. The very first time we see that word being used is whenever Moses said, be ready against the third day, for the Lord on the third day will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai. He told them to get ready, for the Lord was going to come down. And I wonder how many times has it been the lack of my heart being ready or the lack of my life being ready that's caused the Lord not to do something. He may be just waiting for you and me to be ready for exactly what He wants to do this morning. They had to be prepared this morning. I'm quickly going on, but then there was a demonstration. You read there in verse 6, and the Bible says, and they gathered together to Mizpah and drew water and poured it out before the Lord and fasted on that day and said, there we have sinned against the Lord. And Samuel judged the children of Israel in Mizpah. You want me to tell you what you see here? You see a live demonstration that these people were serious about wanting the help that they needed from God. You see a very real demonstration. You say, how do you know that? Well, the Bible says, and they gathered there. That word gathering there gives the idea of assembling. I don't know about you, but I've heard people talk about the problems they have in life. They talk about how they want help and they want this and they want to do that. But then you look at the house of God, and they're rarely there on Sunday night, or they're rarely there on the midweek service. You look at that, their demonstration is not there in their life that shows that they really want the help that God has for them. They gathered there that day, but then you see that they drew water and poured it out and fasted there that day. They were demonstrating that they really needed help from God. They took the water and poured it out. They didn't drink it. They refused to eat until that help came. But notice this, they had an acknowledgement as well. They demonstrated that they had sinned against the Lord and before the Lord. It was a live demonstration that they wanted help from God. It was clearly seen that they wanted the help that they needed. But then there is supplication. Notice what it says, the Bible, Samuel tells them, he says, I will pray for you unto the Lord. And when you look at that word pray there, it gives the idea of interceding. It gives the idea of intercession. It gives the idea of supplication. And that's exactly what Samuel is going to do. When you look at the man that is going to intercede on the behalf of the children of Israel, it's this man whose name is Samuel. Samuel was a man who was birthed through prayer. His mother was a praying woman that carried a burden, and it was through that prayer that Samuel was born. born. You look at Samuel's life. Samuel was a man that believed that if he ceased to pray, then that would be sin before God Almighty. Understand, prayerlessness is sinfulness before the Lord. And Samuel was a man that prayed. But notice what they said. They said they recognized this need for supplication. They recognized that it was a continual need. They said, cease not to cry unto the Lord God for us. For the children of Israel recognized that they needed somebody not to just pray one time, but they needed somebody to continue to pray for them and intercede for them. They recognized that they could not do it on their own, that they had to have somebody going to the throne of grace on their behalf. Understand, it's a precious, precious thing to have somebody praying for you or for me. Understand, you and I can't do it on my own. There's been times in life that I didn't feel like I could pray on my own, but thank God there was somebody that was willing to pray on my behalf. And Samuel was a man that prayed and continued to pray. But hear me this, there would come a day when Samuel would step off the scene. There would be a day where Samuel would go by the way of the grave. But you mean tell you what would not go away? That need for continual prayer. That need was going to be a continuing need. But I'm glad this morning that I have somebody, that when I can't pray for myself and it don't seem like nobody else maybe, there is one that is seated by the right hand of the Father that ever liveth to make intercession for you and I, who's made an intercessor after the priest of Melchizedek. Thank God there's one. I'm glad one is seated praying for me. What a precious commodity that is. I don't realize oftentimes how blessed I really am to know that there's somebody continuing to pray for me. I realize this is simple, but there's been a few times in life that I'm not one to ask anybody else, but I've just asked him. I said, Lord, would you pray for me on this matter? I'm telling you, let me tell you why, because I know that he'll have a hearing ear of God the Father. Matter of fact, every prayer I pray has to go through him to get to God the Father. That's the only way. Samuel was a man that prayed continually. But then we see that this prayer was sacrificial as well. Understand, Samuel only mentioned about praying. Samuel committed to pray, but Samuel never did pray until that sucking lamb was offered. And God forgive me anytime I bow my head and pray and not look at the sacrifice that was made on Calvary for me to have an access and an audience before God Almighty. I'll give you this and I'm done. But then there's confrontation. You better believe if you're wanting help from God, there'll be confrontation from the enemies. Understand, the Philistines didn't really even play a factor in all of this. It was them and God that done it, and God thundered. They were struck by thunder that day. But you look at that stone hitherto, as it's already been mentioned, it was something that linked what God had already done in the past for them. Not just what he had done in this situation, but many, many other times before that. And Samuel said that he would call it Ebenezer. I'll be honest with you, I struggled with that of why he called it Ebenezer. Let me tell you why. Because you look, everybody in this text, the children of Israel, when they heard mention of Ebenezer, help wasn't what come to mind. Matter of fact, you read in 1 Samuel chapter number 5. It was in Ebenezer, the place Ebenezer, that they took, the Philistines took the ark from. When they heard the name Ebenezer, they thought of the day when the ark was taken, Eli was killed, Hophni and Phinehas died, whenever those 30,000 died, the darkest day in Israel. But going from this point forward, that wasn't going to be what they were going to think about. They were going to think about how God stepped in on their behalf and how God intervened for them. When they heard that Ebenezer, their mind was going to go to a rock that was set in a place that reminded them of what the Rock of Ages had done in their life. You say, did he put it in the exact location? Very doubtful. Very doubtful. You do the matter of fact, you try to find the place called Shin, and you'll come up scratching your head probably like me. If you know where it is, please tell me, because I could not find it. But I begin to think about that. Samuel didn't take it back to the place where they were defeated and put the rock there. He put it over there next to Mizpah. And you say, well, why did he do that? I'm glad what God can do here can help me deal with everything that's happened way back yonder or any other place. I'm glad there is an Ebenezer, and I'm glad hitherto, the Lord has helped us. I'm thankful for that. Appreciate the privilege.